Welcome to the LifePoint Palm Bay Sermon Podcast. We encourage you to make copies of this message, but please don't charge for those copies. If you'd like to know more about LifePoint Palm Bay, please visit lifepointpb.com.
Hello, church. As you get ready to watch or listen to the message from this week, I wanted to make a quick clarification. It was brought to my attention after the message that for those who were not in person in the sanctuary that day, that some of my comments might be hurtful or offensive or even make you think that I'm being negative or critical toward those who are not joining us in person. And I want you to know that's not in my mind or in my heart. I understand that we're all in different situations right now, and the Lord has to give us direction and leading as to what we're supposed to do. The point of the message and what I'm praying will be communicated, the Lord's been communicating to me over the last several weeks, is how much COVID-19 has been preeminent in my thoughts, more than the Lord Jesus, more than what He wants to say. I've been thinking more about COVID-19 or the social injustice or all these things, and it influences my decisions more than I realize. And so there's a challenge in this to me, and as I share it with the church, to be kingdom-minded. What is our mission, even in these unprecedented days? And that we would think first about that kingdom, that we would hear His voice first, and every other voice would take second place or third place or wherever it needs to be in the order. And so again, my prayer and desire is that you would get my heart as you listen to this message, and that would come through clearly. I love you guys. I look forward to seeing you again soon. God bless you. Grace and peace. You know what I love on a day like today? That in the midst of all of the pain and uncertainty and the pressure of life in these days, that God is still giving life. He is still the author of life. And I praise Him for that and what He's doing. It's good to be able to worship Him together. All right? Now, this morning, we are going to finish. Oh, before I do that, some of you are ready to go, aren't you? Elevate, you can be dismissed right now. I won't make you stay. So Elevate and Elevate workers, you can head out right now. And while they're doing that, if you want to turn over to Ephesians chapter 6, we are going to wrap up the book of Ephesians today. You'll have to ask Art how long we've been in it. I don't know, but he reminds me every once in a while. It's been a while that we've been in it. But as we come to the conclusion of Ephesians, and there's a whole lot more that we could do with it, but just since the Lord's saying today's the day, it's interesting because there are some passages of Scripture where you don't see a lot of commentary, you don't hear a lot of messages on. There are passages of Scripture that people kind of stay away from when it comes to writing or speaking on. But this particular passage of Scripture, there's a ton of writing. There's a ton of commentary. There's a ton of messages that are preached on it. I mean, and a lot of great insight and understanding on the whole armor of God. But I'm not going to share any of that with you today. It's a lot of it's there. You're welcome to do that on your own study as you're looking and listening. Today, I want to share with you something the Lord reminded me this week. I had completely forgotten. Before I was in local church ministry and pastoring, I worked for a parachurch ministry. Parachurch, by that I simply mean a ministry that's not the local church, though it's made up of members of the church from all different churches, and it assists and it pours into the church, the body of Christ. The Billy Graham Evangelistic Association is a parachurch ministry. Focus on the Family is a parachurch ministry. Love, Inc. here in Brevard County is a parachurch ministry. It's not the local church, but it's made up of people from the local church, and it ministers to the church and strengthens the local church. So I was part of a ministry like that for 8 years before I was in local church ministry. And years ago, probably 30 years ago now, one of the first times I ever spoke or taught, gave a message, was on the shield of faith and what God was doing in my life. And I had forgotten all about it. The Lord reminded me of that. I'm going to share with you now, 30 years later, what I have learned since. Because the shield of faith is part of a set of three. It doesn't stand alone. And I want to share that with you this morning because I have seen it, I've practiced it. My desire is this morning as we leave that, number one, you'll have a better understanding and capability to be able to use these three weapons every day or as often as they're needed in your life. Or you'll also walk away from here today and you may realize, I've been using these pieces of the armor, these weapons, and I didn't even realize I was doing that. And so as we talk about it today, I'm praying that God would do that for you. All right? And he would do it for me. I have found, I don't want to overstate this, but these three pieces of armor I have used weekly, if not daily, for the last 30 years. They're that important. They're that significant. I want to tell you this morning what they are, what they do, and when to use them. All right? And then I'm going to give you a few illustrations to try to tie it all together. All right, so let's start with the shield of faith. We're in Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 15 is where we ended last week, the shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel peace. So last week we had belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, and our feet shod with the gospel of peace. Remember, we talked about this. Think of this like a baseball player. These three are the uniform. You put them on and you have them on. They put their uniform on. They have their socks on. They have their cleats on. They have them on throughout the whole game. They don't take them off. They wear them. These first three are kind of like that for us. But these next three that we're going to talk about today, we pick them up as needed, like a baseball bat. You don't carry the bat with you when you go out into the field. You take your glove when you go out into the field. But when you go up to bat, you put your helmet on, you take your baseball bat. That's what these three are. We pick them up. That's the reason it says taking up the shield of faith. All right, so verse 16. In all circumstances, whenever it's needed, and we're going to talk about when it's needed, but in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all. Don't miss that word. You can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit or with the Spirit. The preposition could be translated either way. With all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that's for Paul, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us today, and we're listening for what you want to say. What is the shield of faith? The shield of faith is the utterance of God given at a specific time, in a specific place, for a specific moment. I want to say that again. The shield of faith is the utterance of God in a specific time, place, moment, for a specific purpose. You say, Troy, why do you describe it that way? Romans chapter 10, verse 17. You don't have to turn there. You can just jot it down. Romans 10, 17. You know this verse as I begin to quote it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes what? By the word of God. Now, this is the shield of faith, right? So this shield consists of faith. Where does Romans 10, also written by the Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the Spirit, where does he say that faith comes from? The word. The word there, the Greek word there is rhema. We've talked about this before, so I'm not going to go in great detail today. But often we have logos. We have the entire revealed word. Even Jesus himself is the word, and that's that Greek word. But rhema is a different word. It literally means utterance. It's a specific word in a specific moment, in a specific situation, often in answer to prayer. I'll give you an example. And I probably shared this before, but I don't remember with whom and what, so I share it with you this morning. When I'm praying about marrying Lori and whether I should get married and whether I should marry her, and as I've shared with you before, I read the Bible through and her name's not in there anywhere, all right? So I couldn't find God's direction that way, all right? And so I'm praying and I'm asking the Lord a very specific question. Lord, there seems to be some waiting here and some opposition and some struggle. Am I missing you? Am I trying to force something that's not of you? Is this not your will? I'm asking the Lord. And I'm sitting one day in a place where I would go just to get alone and listen to the Lord. And I opened up my Bible and I began to read in the book of Habakkuk. Again, you probably haven't read it lately. It's an amazing Old Testament book, but I started reading, and remember, I'm asking the Lord this question, Lord, what do I do in this moment? I don't know what to do, and I'm just reading through, and I get to chapter 2, verse 3 or 4, where it says, the vision is yet for an appointed time, though it tarry, wait for it shall surely come to pass, it will not procrastinate. That is a word that was written by the prophet over 3,000 years ago. But in that moment, sitting on that rock, in that place, that day, it was revelation to me. It was a specific word in a specific time to a specific question that I was asking God. God, what do I do? What do I do in this? The Lord does this often with his written word. He will do it by the Holy Spirit speaking something to you. He can often do it with other people and them speaking to you. Now, when it's another voice speaking into my life, I'm always checking it against his written word to make sure it's not inconsistent with that. But he loves to do this in so many ways. This rhema, this God speaking, this listening to him, and he wants to speak to you. He will speak to you. He is speaking. Sometimes we're not listening, but he is speaking. He wants to communicate. And I'll tell you what initiates that here in just a minute. All right, but this is the shield of faith. This is what he says quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked one, of the evil one. And by the way, it says all of them. What does the shield of faith do? It quenches all the fiery darts, all of them. It extinguishes. Now, what is the purpose of fiery darts? Because you don't need fire on an arrow to kill a person. You don't need it. The arrow by itself, if it hits them, will kill them. Or harm them. You don't need fire to do that. Remember, anybody like me grow up watching cowboys and Indians in the old westerns? Anybody do that? All right. Remember, the settlers would be traveling in a wagon train, and then all of a sudden they'd see the enemy, you know, because I don't know why the Indians always got up on a high place where everybody could see them. I guess it made good TV, all right? But they were up there so you could see them coming. And so they would circle up the wagons, all right? And then the Indians would attack, but they're all circled up and they're behind the wagons and under the wagons. And they're shooting their rifles as the Indians came in with their bow and arrows. You remember that? I remember then thinking as a kid, this doesn't seem like a fair fight. Rifles against bow and arrows. But then you would get One of those smart Indians would take and let's dip this thing in some grease and let's set it on fire and boom, shoot it up there. And what did they do? They weren't aiming for the people. They were aiming for the wagons. Because what they wanted was to get the people to run out from behind the safety of the wagons. And then once they were out in the open, they were much easier to pick off. The fiery arrows were not designed to kill you. They were designed to make you afraid so you'd run away from the protection that you already had. The same is true with our enemy. The fiery arrows are not designed to kill you. They're designed to make you fearful so that you will run away from the protection that's already provided for you. And what the scripture says here is that the shield of faith quenches, it extinguishes all of those fiery darts so that it deals with my fear. It deals with my worry, which is the third point. When do I use the shield of faith? When I'm fearful, when I'm worried, when I'm anxious, when I'm in a turmoil, when I'm in an emotional turmoil. I need the shield of faith. I need, Lord, your word spoken to me in this moment. And you say, well, I could just open up my Bible and start reading. Yes, you can. And it's all good. This is wholesome and healthy and good for you. But what you really need is for God to take a specific word that he wants to speak to you in that moment. Into your heart, into your emotions. I have experienced this thousands of times over the last 30 years. Where you begin, and the more you do it, you begin to recognize, okay, the fear comes. The worry comes. This is my cue. This is my prompt. I need the shield. I have to take up the shield of faith. And I begin to ask, Lord, what do I do? What do you want to say to me? What do you want me to hear in this moment. There's the shield of faith, and then there's the helmet of salvation. What is the helmet of salvation? The helmet of salvation is the rehearsing of the truth that has been revealed to me in the shield of faith. There's an order to these, and the order is important. And this is why I say they're three parts of a set. They're not individual. The helmet of salvation is this rehearsing of the truth. I could say it a different way. It is the renewing of my mind. Because what does the helmet do? It protects the head. It protects the mind. We often say that the enemy attacks our mind, and he does. But I have found more often than not, he attacks my emotions first, and then my mind just quickly follows suit. My emotions often are the catalyst, and then my mind begins to interpret or falsely interpret what I see based on what I'm feeling. So the shield of faith is quenching, it's extinguishing these fiery darts so that my emotions then are settled in Jesus and who he is. Like that picture we had last or 2 weeks ago now, where you've got the little sparrow on the nest, the waves are roaring around, but that little sparrow is sitting safely there, that picture of peace. But I began to meditate, biblical meditation. By the way, biblical meditation is different than New Age or Eastern meditation. New Age, Eastern meditation, I am trying to get to some enlightened place. I'm trying to move into that place. Biblical meditation, I'm already in that place. I'm just trying to remind myself of where I already am, okay? I'm not trying to get anywhere. I am reminding myself because I'm forgetful, and the enemy's very good at confusing me. When do I need... And so what does the helmet do? It protects my thoughts. It retrains my thoughts. Folks, we need that all the time, but especially in the time that we're living right now, because I realize what's happening, what even happens to me. We are being inundated with so much information from a worldly perspective that we're forgetting what our kingdom purpose is. Even today, in the midst of COVID, what is my kingdom purpose? Because I'm going to live or die as God sees fit. My days are numbered. Now, that doesn't mean to be foolish or silly. But my purpose as a believer isn't to try to figure out just how long I can live on this earth. It's what am I going to do while I'm living on this earth? This thought, the way we think, is vitally important. What am I doing for the kingdom in these days? What is my calling? We started this whole thing. What is my custom-made calling? My calling is to be salt and light. It is to declare the glory of God. It is, I want to be able, here's the real challenging part of this. And we've got to be prayerful. I'm praying. We don't communicate with people anymore. We stay away from them. We don't get close. And I get it. Please don't hear me saying that we should just go violate people's personal space. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that we have got to give some thought and prayer to Lord. What is it we're supposed to be doing in these days? Because I don't think this is it, folks. I don't think we just hunker down till it's all over. I'm not telling you what that looks like. I'm telling you we've got to press into the Lord so that he can change and renew my mind. So that I don't think the way I would think if I didn't know Jesus at all. This has nothing to do with whether you shake hands or don't shake hands or hug or don't hug or wear a mask or don't wear. I'm not talking about any of that. I am talking about what is my calling in these days, because all of those things can be overcome. What is my calling? Jesus, what do you want me doing? How do you want me to reflect who you are in these days? But he has to renew my mind. Otherwise, I'm consumed with the information that's coming my way. Can I tell you, this is for me. I'm not telling this is for you. I'm not telling you anything. This is for me.
But I'm going to share it as an example because maybe it'll help. One of the things the Lord prompted is I'm pressing in. I'm saying, Lord, what am I supposed to be doing in these days? Infections rise. Deaths go up. What am I supposed to be doing? How am I supposed to be honoring you? How am I supposed to be submitting to those you've placed in authority over me in government position? How am I supposed to do that? But how am I, more importantly, how am I supposed to be a kingdom, a child of the king in this day in which I live? Do you know something that the Lord prompted me? He said, I want you to do a little research. Because as I'm asking this, there was a passage he brought to my mind. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. That was what came to my mind. And then the thought quickly followed that up. On any day here in Florida, how many people die? 438, by the way. That's the average. On any day in Florida, 438 people. And the question to me was, do I care about those who are dying without knowing Jesus Christ? Because 438 of them are dying every day. We're all going to die. I'm not getting on the bus right now to go do it, but we're all going to do it at some point. This is where the Lord, he renews my mind to recognize. See, here's the thing, folks. Lord and I were talking about this week. The church used to sing songs about heaven. We don't do that anymore. You know why? Because we think the United States is heaven. It's not. It's not. We think we're safe and secure here. We're not. We were never intended to be. Some, Hebrews says, some were translated. Some entered into the place that was promised and enjoyed some of the fruit of that here on this earth. But then it goes on later in Hebrews 11, it says, and some were cut in half with a sword, or fed to lions, or had their head chopped off, or were boiled alive. These all died in faith. Recognizing something that it says earlier in that passage that Abraham had already recognized, that his home really wasn't here. It's somewhere else. Paul says it this way, to live is Christ and to die is gain. So if I can live another day here on planet Earth and Christ be honored and glorified, it was a day well lived. If I can die and Christ be glorified, it is a glorious death. But I could live for another 100 years and Christ not be glorified, and it's a wasted life. Again, I'm not telling you how to apply this message. I'm not even really wanting to preach this message this morning because it's not going to be popular in this day. But I am telling you that it's our responsibility to deal with the flaming darts as they come, the fear that takes over, to quench, to extinguish those things with the shield of faith, and then to allow God to renew my mind to think in a different way. And then to pick up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Again, the word rhema. Rhema. You say, well, Troy, how can the shield of faith be rhema and the sword of the Spirit be rhema? One is internal for me. One is external for others. I start with extinguishing these fiery darts, this fear, this worry, this anxiousness that's causing me to live with a lack of peace. And remember, I'm supposed to be identified by peace. That was in the first set. Causing me not to be able to live in peace. And then I'm having my mind transformed, renewed, changed by the truth that he reveals to me. And then I'm able to speak that out. I'm able to go on the offensive. And how do I do that? Because he's going to tell you in these next few verses, he says, praying always. By the way, prayer is the one that activates all of these pieces of the armor. That's the reason prayer is so important. But he says, I want you Now that you're dealing with the fear and the worry and the anxiousness, and your mind is being renewed and transformed, and now you're taking the sword of the Spirit, now you're taking the revelation that God's given you, I want you to go on the offensive. How? In prayer is the first step. He'll give you wisdom for every step after that. But Paul says, pray for one another. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Pray for me that I may be able to declare. He says, pray for the work of God that's going on in this world. How often am I distracted by the headlines? Lord, I want to see beyond the headlines to what is it you're doing in your kingdom in this world? And how do you want me praying about it and engaged in it? Praying a different way. You know, I've quit praying for my health. And it's not that I want to be sick, but I've quit praying for my health. I've also quit praying for your health. Again, I'm not praying that we get sick. You know what I'm praying? I'm praying that whether we're healthy or sick, whether we're full of strength or have no strength at all, that we would declare the glory of God in every situation. That people would see Jesus in me and in you, no matter what. When someone says, "Why aren't you afraid?" I won't say, "Well, I've not been afraid. I got Jesus." No, I have been afraid at times. I have had fear. But I cried out to my Savior, and I asked Him to give me revelation that would calm my fear. The Bible calls it the shield of faith. And He did that very thing. And then I began to take what He spoke to me and just rehearse it. Meditate on it. Just go over it again in my mind. Change the way I'm thinking. And then it caused me to go on the offensive and begin to pray, "God, what is your word? What are you doing right now in these days? I want to be on the offensive." Praying always with all prayer and supplication with the Spirit. I'm not just making this up. The Spirit's guiding me as I'm doing this. Let me give you an illustration. I was listening to something here a number of weeks ago, and it was talking about things that are currently going on, but also things that may go on in the future. And if I'm honest with you, it unsettled me emotionally as I'm listening to it. It unsettled me. I don't want to say it made me afraid, because I don't like to admit I get afraid, but I do sometimes. But it really unsettled me, and it created a certain amount of worry. It's like, well, what do I do? If this is true, what do I do? And it unsettled me emotionally. So that's my cue, right? What do I do when I'm unsettled emotionally? What do I do? I'm asking the Lord for what? We haven't been here that long, folks, all right? Yeah, we're asking Him for revelation. We're asking Him for the shield of faith. I'm asking Him to give me a word for the moment. So that's what I began to do. Lord, give me a word for the moment. And I'm listening to this. And as this continued on, this person then gave three specific actions based on what was shared that I should take. And as those three actions were shared, immediately the Holy Spirit brought to mind three different passages of Scripture, and I didn't know where they were. I had to go look them up. But He brought to mind these three passages of Scripture, which all three of them contradicted what this person said. Jesus told His disciples to do the very opposite of what this person was saying you should do in light of all that's going to happen. So I went and I began to look that up. I began to kind of pray, and the Holy Spirit began to speak to my heart, and there was a settledness that came. It's like, oh yeah, Lord, you told them to do this and this and this, which is the opposite of this, this and this. And I began to just sense that rest within. I began to meditate on what Jesus spoke. Just run it over in my mind. Different times, different places throughout the day. You can stop. You can be driving in your car and you just kind of rehearse it in your mind. Just rehearse it. Go over it again. You know, if you're reading too much news or watching too much news, turn some of it off and rehearse what the Lord says. It's a whole lot better for you. And rehearse it. It begins to change how I'm thinking, how I'm looking at life. And then it caused me to begin to pray in a different way. It's why I quit praying for my health. Now, is it wrong to pray for health? If somebody's sick, is it? No, it's not. Is it wrong to pray for daily needs? No, it's not. Please don't hear me saying that. It's wrong for me to pray for those things out of the wrong motivation. When my motivation, when my heart's not right, then those prayers can be wrong because they're coming from a place of fear or worry or doubt or insecurity or I don't trust you, God. I've got to work this out on my own. I've got to figure out my own solution to this. Then it's a problem. And I begin to pray specifically in specific areas for the work that God's doing right now and to be engaged. It is difficult right now to engage with people, but I've been praying. I'm saying, Lord, I want to engage with people right now, not just people I know, people I don't know, and Lord, people who may not know you. So I'm praying. Now again, big hunk of machinery broken down right here last week. Couldn't have church. I'm not happy. All right. I'm sitting there. I'm thinking through all the different ways we might could resolve this issue. Fix it. Get it out. Somebody even said, well, let's just get a bunch of guys and try to pick it up and carry it. I realized that it weighs 8,000 pounds. We're not going to just pick it up and carry it. Okay. All these things. Called the company, tried to get it. You know, nothing's working, and I'm sitting there, and I'm frustrated. I'm beginning to say, Lord, what do you want to speak to me? And the Lord began to speak, and I began to meditate on it. It began to change the way I pray. Do you know what happened this week when the guy came to pick up the lift? He was talking to me. I was talking to him, introduced ourselves. He said, you know, I've been telling my wife we should come to church. He said, you guys having church? I go, yeah. 9/11. Why don't you come? I got his name. Talked to him for a few minutes. Had a conversation. Honestly, the first conversation I've been able to have with someone I didn't know since this all started. I'm here for a different purpose. You're here for a different purpose. We have a custom-made calling. It is not to live in fear. It is not to hunker down and just wait till it all passes by. Neither is it to be foolish. You know, I'm not going to kiss somebody with COVID, all right? I'm not going to be foolish. I'm not going to kiss anybody, by the way, hon. All right? Just clarify that, all right? Since it's on tape. But you know what I mean. I'm not going to be foolish. But I am going to be on mission. I have a calling. No matter what's going on in this world, I have a calling. I want to be on task. I want that for you too. Let's bow our heads. I'm going to ask the team to come up. They'll lead us in a moment in worship, but right now, What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? Not what I'm saying. Not my words. Not even my thoughts. My desire this morning was to communicate to you, to get my thoughts out of the way, to be as much as I know how, just to get out of the way. And I realize that there may be things that I said this morning that can be misinterpreted or misunderstood, and that is not my desire. What I'm asking you to do right now is to listen, to press in, to ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want to say to me? How then shall I live in this moment? Lord, what do you want to speak to my emotions that are in a turmoil? And Lord, when you speak it, I want to meditate on it. I want to rehearse it. I want my mind renewed by your truth. I believe all three of these line up with the way God made us. He deals with our emotions. He deals with our mind. And then our will, my will is, I'm going to go on the offensive. I'm going to be engaged in the fight. Whatever that looks like. For all of us, it's different. But the Spirit says, I want you engaged. Lord Jesus, help us today. Lord, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to live in these days other than to come back to what your truth says. To take up the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, and then to be engaged in all prayer in the Spirit, with the Spirit, engaged. So Lord, I want to live that way. I'm praying for us as a body, we will live that way. Lord, today, help us let go of anything that we're holding on to that keeps us from picking up the shield of faith. And the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Help us identify what's in our hands, like Moses, that has to be thrown down, laid down. And Lord, would you do such a work in my heart, in our hearts, that like the Apostle Paul, we could say to live as Christ, to die as gain. Lord, that's not my testimony most days, but I want it to be. I want it to be. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for this day and the privilege of gathering together with you in it. In Jesus' name we pray.